This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
I hit it hard, man.
And good morning. Welcome in. Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio. Great to be back in studio. Now 2 weeks in a row. I feel like one of us has been gone. It's been a little while since we've had a couple consecutive weeks when you and I, Charlie, both in the studio in Houston.
Starting August in fine shape.
That's good. That
the
is.
The team is together.
It is. As the golf calendar, at least on the PGA
wanes.
Tour, definitely starts to slow down.
Wanes. Everybody's getting ready for football.
That's right. Preseason this week. Everybody gets going. This next week, everybody gets going for preseason football. But we were looking, I mean, just in Houston, the Houston Open right around the corner. That'll be here before we know it in October. And we were checking out their Facebook page a little bit.
Everybody's got to go there.
Yeah, I encourage, for those of our listeners in Houston, Houston Open coming up in October, and their Facebook page, each week they've been updating the renovations for down the road, of course, at Memorial, but also just some videos about what's coming up for this year's event. And it was pretty cool. We watched a couple of them here in the last 15 minutes.
And Crane's doing this in his spare time as he's filling his bullpen with an incredible amount of talent.
Yeah, that rotation for the Astros is definitely loaded now. They
Smoltz
are
said it was the better lineup than when he was playing with Atlanta.
Yeah, the only comparison is Maddox and Smoltz and those guys in the 90s, right? That's the only comparison. And you hear from Smoltz, who's a Hall of Famer, and you know, I'll take his word for it. He says it's better. So doesn't guarantee a championship, but the Astros certainly are in fantastic shape. We do have a lot to get to on the show today, Charlie. A couple
yes.
interesting things that potentially could change going forward with the PGA, the 2020 schedule. We'll take a look at that. Plus, the PGA tweaking the cut a little bit. And we'll get both Bill Harmon, who's going to join us, of course, on the phone in just a little bit. Both of your guys' thoughts on that, if you like some of the changes coming down the road. And Tom Watson last week, surprising, I think, some people, saying it's his final senior open, or it was his final senior open.
He's 70 years old. You just can't compete with people that are 50 years old, and he wants to compete, and it's no more, I don't think it's any more reason than that. And just like me, I can't compete anymore.
Exact same example. All right, we're going to have Bill Harmon join us and talk about Brooks Koepka, who last week won in Memphis, and we'll take a look at Tiger with some tough picks coming up.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
All right, just getting started this morning on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. And we welcome in Bill Harmon now, who joins us on the phone as he does each and every Saturday here. Good morning, Bill. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
You know, Bill, we're doing pretty darn good, but this golf is kind of winding down, and, you know, we had a great British Open, or the Open Championship, and then all of a sudden we had a World Golf Championship that really was kind of lackluster until Sunday, and Rory didn't even have a chance, did he?
Well, you know, it's interesting. My nephew, Claude Harmon III, coaches Koepka, and we texted back and forth after the victory, and he said it was a big victory for Brooks to go head-to-head with Rory. I think that Claude didn't say this, but I think Brooks has a little bit of Tiger in him in the sense that when he goes against his rivals, let's say, i.e. Dustin Johnson at the Open at Shinnecock or Rory, he believes it's important for him to beat those guys head to head, and just adds to the intimidation factor. And you know, Brooks is getting a little bit of that aura about him, that he isn't a very intimidating player. He doesn't seem to change expressions. He talks a pretty good, confident game, and then he goes out and proves it. So I think it's another big feather in his cap, Charlie, to go head-to-head with Rory and beat him pretty soundly, really.
Yes, I thought it was really a no contest. And you could see, I thought Rory was kind of nervous. You know, he just didn't look at ease. I mean, the day before he shoots 62, and on Sunday he can't get it going. And that, to me, is intimidation from Brooks. And Mr. Cool Hand Luke is changing the scene of golf in big time.
Yeah, I agree. He's what he's accomplished in the major championships the last few years. Now we can't get on him to say he doesn't win the other tournament.
Right.
So
he
shows up at a World Golf Championship, which is a big event, and then he beats that field pretty handily. So he is really just a prime time player, and he's one of those rare athletes that when the heat is on the most, he performs the best. And there really aren't that many athletes in that many sports that you can say that about, but he is certainly becoming the man on the PGA Tour. I don't think there's any doubt about it anymore.
Well, and the good news for Houstonians, and we've gone through kind of a amorphous of losing the Houston Open and the dates, and Jim Crane comes to the table, and you know, we're going to have the Houston Open in October, and Butch, your brother's going to be the host of the event, which is really kind of neat. He's gone kind of full circle when he left here 30 years ago. But we got Brooks, who's helping design the golf course. And if you Alex has showed me how to go on Facebook to see what's going on, and this the course is going to be fantastic. So here in Houston, we got a lot to look forward to.
So you're alluding that you think Brooks will play in the tournament because
that's what we were wondering.
That's right. Is that what you were getting at, Charlie?
You know, that is exactly right. And if he doesn't, Butch is going to get fired.
Well, Butch doesn't teach him. Maybe Claude will get fired.
Hey, somebody's got to make that happen.
It's just really that's another. Jim Crane, what he's doing in his spare time.
Oh, he's unreal.
And what he just did to our ball club is just phenomenal.
No, if he's touching it, you can pretty much be sure that it's going to be a first-class event. And, you know, I never saw the old Memorial Park, Charlie, so I don't have anything to compare it to. But evidently it's looking great now. But it won't be this next year. It'll be the next year they move there. Is that correct?
Right. But the course itself is, you know, it's a great footprint. You know, you got a couple hundred acres of beautiful land. There's no relief. It's just kind of a flat piece of property. But to see on Facebook what they're doing to it, it's really going to be a magnificent golf course for the city of Houston for many years to come. You know, this was designed back in the 40s, and golf courses, you know, you didn't spend a lot of money. Now they got water features. They've got, you know, it's really exciting. I'm really happy.
And Brooks Koepka, just going back for a second there, last week at Memphis, so final round 65, and the company that he's in, we all know what he's been able to do at majors, and as you allude to, Bill just now winning a non-major as well, but he's now, there was only five players, now six with him, that had won a major and a WGC event in the same season. Those guys were, let's see, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Jeff Ogilvie, and then now you can add Brooks Koepka to that list. So,
wow, that's a pretty great set there, Alex. That's good work, pal.
I can't take full credit on that one. I can thank our friends over at Elias Sports Bureau, people much smarter and nerding out on stats than me.
But, well, I'd have had a heart attack if you told me Charlie told you that.
I figured, Bill, you may have already known. I figured you already knew,
heart.
Bill. I figured you already knew.
Beautiful.
So, okay, what about this week, guys? Briefly, the Wyndham Championship going on. Last week we briefly mentioned this event. The field wasn't all that impressive, but the pool of money was certainly, they amped it up a little bit. For the Wyndham Championship,
a little bit, and nobody showed up for it. Bill, that was kind of an embarrassing thing for the PGA to have a sponsor put up that much money and you know, one person out of the top 10 shows up. I don't know.
Well, why. I think, you know, I think we're going back to maybe, Charlie, I don't know this, the unintended consequences of having a major every month, you know, and I think it's starting to have a negative effect on some of the tournaments that have been on the schedule for decades. And I understand it's a work in progress, but, you know, you have all those majors and then you throw in a World Golf Championship event. And now we're seeing some different fields at different events. So I think it's an unintended consequence, but it's new. It's the first year. Jordan Spieth is playing pretty good, I see. But when you look at the leaderboard, you don't really see the top names. There's no doubt about it. Webb Simpson's up there trying to make the President's Cup and things of that nature. But I agree with you. The turnout wasn't great. But once again, it's one of those strange dates that we're going to be – some of these tour events are going to find are probably going to be problematic going to the future.
The purse set $6.2 million this weekend.
Yeah, growing pains, but that's okay.
Yeah, on the leader, you mentioned it's not a star-studded leaderboard by any means, and the field itself wasn't. So on the leader, he's got a one-stroke lead heading into today. Jordan Spieth tied for 12th heading into today, shot a 64 on Thursday. And we'll come back here. You brought up Webb Simpson. Just a funny comment from him. I guess he called Tiger Woods after Simpson took a look at the President's Cup standings, and we'll get to that. We'll also take a brief look at the President's Cup standings, and I know we got till December. Charlie was joking with me before the show. He said, we got till December till the President's Cup. I said, well, we got a month left to qualifying. Well, Webb Simpson is talking about it, so we're going to take a brief look at the standings.
We're in the middle of playoffs. What do playoffs mean to you?
Yeah, playoffs.
Uh-huh, sure. Bill, what do the playoffs mean to you?
We need the Jim Mora.
Oh, I like it. I like him, Charlie, because I like the elimination factor of it every week. And then I do know that most of the players do want to get to that tour championship. It's a feather in your cap to make it all the way through and be one of the best 30 players for the year. So I look at it because I used to caddy, and I know it was a big deal with Jay Haas to get in that. So I have a little different view on it. I like the elimination every week. I think that part of it's pretty good. And so I like the playoffs. I think they're good.
All right, we'll take a look at those standings for the President's Cup coming up on the other side. Plus the PGA, some changes coming down in the future, the cut line, the 2020 schedule. We'll do all that next here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
So the President's Cup is not until December. December the 5th, Charlie, is when it gets underway. But a month left of qualifying for that, and you take a look at the top 10 right now: Koepka, Johnson, Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Matt Kuchar, DeChambeau, Cantley, Gary Woodland, Tony Finau, and at number 10 is Webb Simpson. And Webb Simpson this week was talking about the standings a little bit, was just asked about how he's been playing, and he said he called up Tiger this week, I guess, or last week, and Tiger, he basically told Tiger that it was surprised he didn't move up more in the standings, as Webb Simpson currently sits 10th. And Tiger, I guess, told him, well, play better.
Play better. See, what you don't remember is the Ryder Cup a couple years ago, he begged Tom Watson to take him. You remember that, Bill?
I do remember that. Because it was between Webb Simpson and Bill Haas.
Yes, right. Okay.
And, well, you definitely
and
remember
so
then,
that.
So
that was down to the last two picks. And Tom eventually went with Webb. And looking at how their careers have gone since then, and maybe Tom has made the right choice, because Webb certainly is playing a lot better than Bill is.
Yeah, but he didn't play good in the Ryder Cup.
He did not that year, but as you know, Charlie, I don't think a lot of the golfing public understand the intricacies of match play. You know, you can play good and lose, as you know.
Oh yeah,
and you can play poorly and win. But at the bottom line is, you know, the Ryder Cup is prime time event, and if you don't win your matches, you're going to get skewered. That's pretty much the way it is.
So the President's Cup, the top eight, right? We mentioned the top ten, but the top eight would be the qualifiers, and then you would have Tiger Woods with the opportunity there to pick numbers nine. He could pick 9 through 12 if he wanted. I guess he could pick anybody.
Big question,
he could pick anybody,
is,
right?
Is Tiger going to be a playing captain?
Yeah, yeah. If you were wondering, if you were just going off a rank too, he's 12th right now as well. Oh, is the dog back?
The dog's back.
It's been like 3 months, Bill. We got the dog snoring again.
Yeah, you can hear him, huh?
Yeah,
he's back. That's how much he likes his show.
It's been probably since February.
He sleeps right on my stomach. That's why he's snoring. I'm sorry. I'm so used to hearing it that I forgot to get it right by the speaker.
He's our show mascot.
Yeah, like you said,
that says a lot about our show, doesn't it?
yeah, he's thrilled.
We got to send us a picture, and we'll put it on the website.
Yeah, I will.
On a serious note, what do you guys think Tiger ends up doing here? One, you asked the question. I think it's good. Does Tiger play? But we know what the top eight are right now, and if you're Tiger, what do you do as far as your picks? What would you guys do with a month to go?
I think that's an interesting conversation because we have those two young guys that have won. I really think if I was Tiger, I'd pick one of the two anyway. I'd have to maybe go with this Matt Wolf. They both showed such unbelievable poise in that Minnesota tournament, and then Corey showed that same poise when he won at Reno. So I think that I would think a little bit off the grid, Charlie. You got four picks, right? I think I'd pick one of those young men.
Didn't he, I forget that, President's Cup at Muirfield, at Jack's place, they picked Jordan Spieth to play.
I think they did, yeah.
And then they picked, there's a Japanese player that was, you know, they try to bring those guys along. So, I can see him doing that, picking.
Would you do it if you were the captain, Charlie?
You know, I probably would. I probably would. And it's an opportunity to showcase the talents coming on and create a little more excitement. And I really like that Wolf kid. What he showed us in winning Eagle in the last hole, it was incredible. And I think your dog likes it too.
Yeah, he's now purring because I'm stroking him to keep him awake.
All right, now I got to know what kind of dog it is again.
Oh, if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. It's our little pug.
Of course, yeah.
Characters.
Yeah, not surprised to hear that. Now, okay, you asked if Tiger would play. I can't envision Tiger not picking himself here. If he's healthy.
I'd be surprised if he did pick himself.
You'd be surprised if he did. Really?
Yeah, you know, he hasn't played much. He's talked about his health and, you know, it's kind of his new normal of not being able to play as much. And as Charlie knows, the President's Cup is 5 matches in 3 days, you know, or 4 days President's Cup now. But he'd have to probably only play 2 or 3 matches. I don't think he'd want to pick somebody that wasn't at least capable of playing all the matches if he wanted them to. What do you think about that, Charlie?
I think if he made the team, he would play. But if he doesn't...
Well, that's different, yeah.
Yeah, he's four spots out of that
right
now.
Yeah, if he doesn't make the team, I don't think he...
And is it going to be Tiger who's going to break Phil's streak of playing in Ryder Cups and President's Cup by not picking him?
You know, does it really make that much difference?
Well, I think it's a pretty cool streak that Phil has.
He's 14 right now.
Maybe make a difference.
How many times has he lost? He should have stopped a long time ago. You know, he was highly critical of Tom Watson, but you know his record in the Ryder Cup and in majors, you know. So I'm down on.
Well, we've got 128.
So you don't think Phil has a good record majors? Is that what you just
said?
Well,
I mean, you know, a wing foot.
That is what you said, by the way.
Yes, wing foot. It's not very, you know, that's 6 runner-ups. I mean,
well,
come on.
Well, he's got 5 major wins and 6 runner-ups. And I think that Phil Mickelson's got a pretty good major record. Maybe not a good Ryder Cup record, Charlie.
I know that, yeah.
Come on. Get your thoughts in line.
I just think of what he did.
My dog is now awake listening. He wants to hear some good stuff.
What he did at Wingfoot. I mean, but that's neither here nor there.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour
exactly right.
Here on SB Nation Radio. So yeah, we have 128 days to they go out to Royal Melbourne Golf Club. Now, what about the changes coming to the PGA Tour and fewer players going to be around for the weekend at events starting next season? So they're going to reduce the 36-hole cut size from the top 70 in ties to the top 65 in ties. And, Charlie, during the break, you were mentioning what that would mean even for, like, this weekend. What do you guys think
like
of the
top 70 in ties, and there's 83 guys playing on the weekend, and try to get those many players around, you got to go in threesomes and you got to start off two tees, and it makes the logistics of the tournament, you know, cumbersome on the weekend. And evidently the players are okay with it because they had to vote on it to do that. So it's just a necessity, I guess, Bill, huh?
I was kind of surprised, Charlie, that the players to vote on that, they're basically taking away five spots away a week of guys that get paid.
Yeah, yeah.
And these guys play golf to make a living. So I was a little bit surprised in that regard. As you know, we've talked often on the show about how many tournaments there are, and are there too many tournaments? Well, the players, you know, they can't get enough tournaments especially for the rank-and-file players.
Yeah,
superstars don't make any difference, but the guys out there trying to grind out a living, it makes a difference. I was a little bit surprised that they voted to go to 65. I thought it was pretty interesting. I think it's a good move for the points that you brought up, the logistics and things like that. But usually players don't vote for less paychecks. But there's more money to go around now because you're paying 65 instead of over 70, right?
Yeah, it'll be a few more dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
And you brought up the schedule, and so we learned this week that the new schedule in 2020, a couple of tweaks. We got the Olympics, and they're going to work around that. So the tour will work on the Olympics in Tokyo. No tournament on the schedule during the summer games and the golf competition specifically. And then also the WGC FedEx St. Jude's Invitational, which just wrapped up. Well, it's going to move around. It's probably the most notable change in the schedule, guys. This year it was played the week after the Open, and the final WGC event, and now it's going to go to in between the U.S. Open and the Open Championship. Do you like this?
Wow.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. But that's
back again to these kind of unintended consequences.
Yeah.
It's just interesting how it played out this year, and it doesn't sound like the players are all that excited about it.
It's just cramming a lot, and you know, he has to have some time off. I mean, you look at the NBA, and they say, you know, 82 games. The baseball is 162 games. So it's all about money, and they have 49 events now.
But don't you think that WGC event that it would maybe garner a little more attention because it's not going to be after the major? Like, a lot of people, when the majors are done, they're done watching golf. Do you think that this highlights this event a little bit more, though?
I don't know if the average golfer really cares.
Golfer or golf fan?
Golf fan.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Do you, Bill?
I think you're probably right, Charlie. I think if there's any problem with all these tournaments, is it dilutes the interest, I think, of the fans.
Yep.
It's great for the players, but like you said, you know, the Ladies British Open is on right now, which I love watching and stuff like that. But, you know, the interest, they had a major last week at the Evian, and they have two majors back-to-back. And, you know, there's really no real publicity or anybody writing about it and things like that. And so perhaps, you know, the fact that there's a lot of golf now is great for the players. But I think the fans are getting a little bit bored with it.
Yeah, another winner for next year, the Rocky Mortgage Classic, which I was up in Detroit a month or two ago. Well, the second year event, the field wasn't great. Well, this time next year, they're going to move it to May, so that might help them out a little bit. It'll be a week before the Memorial.
It's snowing in Detroit.
All right, coming up next, the final Senior Open for Tom Watson.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
And the show made possible by our friends over at Insperity.
Insperity, a company that inspires business performance. And just like what the Houston Astros just did, they improved their bullpen. They brought in a new starter. They want to win another World Series. Well, if you want to win a World Series in your business and you really want to grow your business, give Insperity a call. Let them come in and they can tell you exactly what they can help you with government regulations, all those different rules and that will tie you up with all the minutia instead of you go out and run your own business and sell and make a successful business. Insperity is a Houston company that was established in 1986. They have grown so much because they help businesses. So just log on to Insperity.com and grow your business. Wonderful, wonderful people.
Not long after we got off the air last Saturday, Tom Watson announced that while he was playing at the Senior Open, that would in fact be his final Senior Open. He will not take part in the U.S. Senior Open or the Senior Open Championship after this year. And so he was done after last weekend. And in his 18 appearances, he had never missed the cut at that event. And a three-time Senior Open champion, five-time winner of the Open Championship, obviously a Hall of Famer. What do you guys make of his decision to no longer play in these events?
70 years old. And your motor skills change, and you just can't compete. And he was one that competed at a high level, almost won the Open Championship when he was 60. So he doesn't want to go all the way over across the pond and not think he has a chance to win, Bill. I think that would be the main reason why he doesn't want to play anymore.
Well, he said that he doesn't have the tools in his toolbox. The only thing that surprised me a little bit, guys, is that at the Senior Open at Notre Dame this summer, which I was there, he shot his age or better 3 out of 4 rounds. So he was competitive. He finished 17th with a triple bogey the last day. But reading between the lines, he played the first 2 rounds of that event, Charlie, with Retief Goosen. And one day I sat at a table with him at lunch, and he mentioned that Goosen was out driving him 40 or 50 yards every hole. And, boy, that's a lot, as you know, Charlie. And I think that probably led him to think that, you know, how am I going to compete? Jay Haas said at the Players' Championship at Firestone that Goosen buried the last 2 holes to beat Jay. Jay said he hit a good drive in a 6-iron to the last hole, and Retief hit a drive in a gap wedge. And that's probably the main thing I would think that Tom's thinking, that he just can't hit the ball far enough to win one of those events. And I don't think Tom has ever been a ceremonial player. There are certain guys that play for one reason and one reason only, and that's to win. Tiger has said, when will you retire? He said, very simple, when my best isn't good enough to win. And I think that's what I was reading between the lines, is that Tom probably senses that even if he did play well, he couldn't win. And I think that's probably the part that led him to this decision, because anybody that could shoot their age or better 3 out of 4 rounds in a major tournament still has a lot of game left, but not enough to quench his thirst for victory.
So that was the announcement last Saturday, maybe surprising some people as well. And I guess now he can just hang out and have some more barbecue in Kansas City.
You know, that's Charlie. You know, he loves. He has a lot of horses, and he's doing that.
Well,
you know, his wife is.
I think it's also noted that his wife Hillary has cancer.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not
he
know that.
He spends a lot of time in Houston. I don't know if you know that, but River Oaks has given him playing privileges over there. He spends a lot of time at River Oaks. His wife has been treated off and on at MD Anderson. So maybe all of his priorities are changing. And
sure.
But I also think that the realization that if he plays his best, he's not going to win a tournament. And for a great champion, that's a pretty sober thing to figure out, I think.
You got to know when to fold him, and he's been a great career.
A Hall of Famer.
You know, went through a period where about 8 years on the PGA Tour, he never won. And then he fought back, and he won Jack's tournament. And so my hat's off to Tom Watson. He's been one of my heroes. I've always liked the way he carried himself and what he did. And he really worked hard, Bill. I mean, he was the guy that would walk off the 18th green, and he'd go right to the practice area and work for a couple hours until he – found what he needed, and then he would probably win on Sunday. So my hat's off to Tom Watson.
Yeah, me too. You know, he said it at that interview at the British that, you know, he played the game the way it was supposed to be played in his view, and I think he did. I agree 100% with that comment.
All right, now a story.
100%, Charlie.
100%, Bill.
All right, now something Charlie's been itching to get to throughout the show today. You brought this to my attention. I was not aware of this, Charlie, about a 2018 Ryder Cupper getting arrested for a very serious allegation, right, allegedly sexually assaulting a fellow passenger on a flight from Nashville to London. But the one detail that really stuck out to you was apparently what?
He urinated on the rug in the first class.
In the aisle.
I mean, come on.
Now, I know Bill probably knows how to pronounce his name. I don't want to butcher it, so that's why I've kind of waited to say the name. But
Thorborn Olsen.
Olsen. There you go.
But that is really kind of an embarrassing story. We still haven't. At least I haven't read any comments from him. I'm sure he he was intoxicated.
Sure.
And I imagine when he came to that he's extremely embarrassed, I would think. Anyway. But I haven't heard anything, an official response from him, but I would imagine he'll be embarrassed to death. And evidently Poulter was on the flight with him and tried to calm him down a little bit, but sometimes when people have too much to drink, you know, they'll do things that they wouldn't normally do, and I would imagine that he normally wouldn't go to the bathroom in the aisle of an airplane.
I think that's I would agree with you. I would definitely agree.
Yeah.
And certainly, yeah, if something crazy like that were to happen, I don't think you would expect it to happen in first class either, that's for sure. Maybe that's something on some low-budget airline.
So the aisle is bigger, maybe.
There's a little more room to navigate, perhaps. Luckily, hopefully it was a wide aisle. Hopefully it didn't catch anybody. That's for sure as well. All right, let's wrap things up on this segment and get away from that before we say something we should maybe along that topic. Lexi Thompson, let's transition a little bit. So thinking of just travel issues, she forgot her passport, I guess.
Oh, she left it in her...
And she caused 40 players to miss practice at the British Open.
She left it in her travel bag where she puts her golf club for some reason. I don't know. It's kind of a weird story. And Lexi's not had a good year this year, Bill. I mean, with all her talent, she seems to have more problems off the course. I saw an article also that her caddy is very underpaid because of what he has to put up with. Have you seen all this going on at your side of the...
Well, you hear a lot of stories. You know, putting your passport in your golf bag is kind of a strange thing to do. And the bottom line is that there were 40 girls having their luggage transported, and she's the only one that did it. And then in her effort to retrieve her passport, I don't know, when I travel, I know where my passport is at all times. It's like the most important thing almost, that and your money. So I think the fact that she had it in her golf bag was odd. The fact that it cost 40 people a practice round was odd. But, you know, she missed the cut at the Evian. And then on Twitter or Instagram, she blasted the course. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's a sponsor, Evian, that has been unbelievably loyal to the ladies with a real big purse. And she's blasting the course and everything because she missed the cut. Maybe the course was awkward. but it's one of their biggest purses. The ladies are always complaining about the amount of money that they're playing for. Now you have a sponsor that's put up a lot of money and a lot of attention for probably 20 years on the LPGA Tour, and the leading American player, you know, is skewering them. So I don't know where she gets her advice from, or, you know, I thought she handled that thing where she mismarked the ball carelessly would be a nice way to put it. She never did really take responsibility for that. So I don't know who's advising her, but I don't know. For someone who's the best American player and you're trying to promote the LPGA to come across it that way to the sponsor last week, I thought was in very, very poor taste.
Yeah, thinking of penalties, did you see Brandon Steele, who was...
That's a weird one.
Yeah,
huh?
Right? Yeah, second round of the Wyndham Championship this week. He received a two-shot penalty for use of an alignment stick.
Yeah, the caddy, you know, they have these alignment sticks in their golf bag, and they can be in their golf bag, you just can't use something that's used for in teaching aid.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Charlie, wouldn't you be kind of reluctant to think, now, wait a minute, you know, I probably can't, I don't know. I think sometimes when you're in doubt about something, you're always going to err on the side of caution, because you could use a golf club, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's another one of those things. I think it's almost like playing the wrong ball. When a player plays the wrong ball, in my opinion, if they're playing in twosomes, it's basically four people fell asleep, both caddies and both players.
Yeah.
And it happens. It happens, but it's usually a confluence of weird events. And I'm sure just for a brief moment, Brendan Steele and his caddy just kind of fell asleep. And it sounded like Brendan Steele is the one who brought it up to the official. Like, maybe that ain't the right thing to do, you know. But those things happen in golf.
Yeah.
Just moment, you have a momentary lapse of judgment, and you go, oh, my God, I think I just broke a rule inadvertently. You know, it wasn't that he was trying to cheat or anything.
And as we looked it up, he wasn't making the cut anyway, right? It didn't really impact him making the cut or not. So, fortunately, it wasn't. I mean, that would have made it even worse if that was the reason he didn't make the cut or something. But, yeah, that was definitely bizarre. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap things up on this Saturday of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour and talk a little more about Tiger and when you'll see him next.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Final few minutes of the show, and we learned yesterday, next time we're going to see Tiger Woods. He commits to playing the first FedEx Cup playoff events.
He needs
playoffs.
A couple more points to
playoffs?
Try to get in the top 30.
Playoffs?
The defending championship.
Yeah.
Playoffs.
The
That's
Northern
good.
Trust. Thank
That's
you, Jim
good.
Mora. Thank you.
That's good. Playoffs. Playoffs. I thought that was the dog again.
Yeah, I think he's confirmed he'll play in the first two, and obviously he can't say he's going to play in the last one because he's got to finish in the top 30. I believe he's 27th at the moment. So the last one is dependent on his position. I would assume if he gets that far, he will definitely play because he would be the defending champion. So the fact that we know he's playing in the first two playoff events, I like. I think it's good. Adds a lot to the event.
Yeah, Woods has played in just four tournaments since he won the Masters all the way back in April, and then he's missed the cut in two of those four. So we'll see what happens. And still one victory short of that record of 82 career
You know, it's really strange. You know, we all got euphoric when he won the Masters, and it was the resurgence of the great champion. And then he just fell on hard times. Bill, I never thought that would happen. I thought he was coming back, but he really must be in bad shape.
Well, we don't, you know, we talked about it last week. We just don't know how much all of this is taken out of him. He looks tired. You know, when you look at his face and everything, he doesn't seem to have the giddy up in his step. And we don't know if his back is acting up again, Charlie, and we just don't know because he doesn't really give you much. But maybe him coming back and winning the Tour Championship and the Masters just took a lot more out of him than we'll ever know.
Well, that, you know,
I got to give him a pass on all this stuff. He's already achieved 100 times more than we ever thought he would
sure.
3 years ago.
Yes, yes. And I think he's tired, and we'll see.
What are you doing the rest of the day, Charlie? You going on the course or what?
I've got two juniors that I teach on Saturday. I'm going to go out and give a putting lesson and another chipping lesson to a couple kids that I really like, and they're working hard on their game. So that's it. Then I got to wait for AT&T Universe come over and fix my television.
Uh-oh.
Keeps going out.
You know, you just got to plug it in. That usually helps.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm going to be testing a new shaft. Barney Adams, a great club maker, has come up with an idea about shafts that I really can't share right
Ooh,
now.
Okay.
But I tried it.
And, like he mentions it, Charlie, and he can't even tell us anything.
10 yards further, Charlie.
Further. I need 20. I need 20.
I'll settle
Bill.
For 7 or 10 right now because my rower's coaster is zooming downhill.
I've gotten sneaky short real quick.
Me too. I did too all of a sudden. I've lost 5 miles an hour in the last 6 months.
And I come up with these good ideas on how to do it, and my body just won't do it. I mean, I hit some of the
Mother
damage
Nature's
shots.
Undefeated, baby.
All right, guys.
There's no 70-year-old sprinters in the Olympics.
There's that. Fun show. We'll talk to you next week.
See
you guys.
Bye-bye.